So when we met a couple weeks ago, we were on vacation last week, and the Kimmels were on vacation last week, and this week the Stums and the Peffers are on vacation, but it's summer, right? But we talked about a couple weeks ago that we need to keep our focus on Jesus. That there are so many things that we could, that could distract us. We could be looking at this issue or that issue or focusing on this storm or that storm. But we have to choose instead to focus on Jesus. So that was talking about what we see and what we look at. And then 2 weeks after that, when I spoke again, we spoke about hearing. How we have to intentionally choose to tune out clamor and noise, which is everywhere, and focus instead our hearing on Jesus. Jesus said that He was the great shepherd, and we are the sheep, and we can and we should hear His voice. Amen? Can and should hear His voice. So we did seeing, we did hearing. Today we're going to talk about doing. Seeing, hearing, doing. Jesus said that He only did what He saw His Father doing. And you and I need to be doing what Jesus is doing. You know, Jesus is doing something all the time. He's at places and with people doing something, and He gives us the invitation to join Him. But we can't join Him in what He's doing if we aren't seeing and hearing. So we have a lot to look at in the Word today. Those of you that like to follow along in your Bibles, we're looking at a bunch of stories and parables and examples. And I even have a point where I'm going to ask you to participate if you have something you want to say. So a little bit different this morning, but we're in John 14 to start. So we talked about our needing to focus on Jesus, on what we see. We talked about needing to tune in our ears so we can hear Him. And now today we're going to be talking about doing. John 14, let's start in verse 6. Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves." Now listen, verse 12. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." Come on. So who believes in Jesus today? I'm expecting to see 100% participation because I know all of you. Okay? So, Jesus said, if you believe in me, you all just said, we do. You will do the same things I do. Come on. So today we're going to look at just three types of things that Jesus did. Otherwise, we'd be here till 3 or 4 or 5 this afternoon if we looked at everything Jesus did. But I want to challenge you and encourage you today that Jesus said you could and should be doing what he did. Amen? Oh, come on. Pastor Kurt's not here to amen me. Trish, you're going to have to pick it up. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So here's the three things we're going to look at together today. Three things. Number one, Jesus shared the good news, the gospel message, with everyone who would listen. He shared the good news, the gospel message, with everyone who would listen. Number two, he healed the sick and delivered those who were in bondage to the enemy. Healed the sick and delivered those who were in bondage to the enemy. And number three, he showed compassion and mercy on those who were broken or searching. I'll read them again because I know some of you are taking notes. Number one, he shared the good news, the gospel message, with everyone who would listen. Shared the good news, the gospel message, with everyone who would listen. That's what gospel means, good news. That's why I like to give you both explanations. Number two, he healed the sick and delivered those bound by the enemy. Delivered those bound by the enemy. Number three, he showed mercy and compassion to those who were broken or searching. If you came to Jesus and you were broken or searching, you received mercy and compassion. So after Jesus' baptism, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He went into the wilderness. Remember, he was tempted there in the wilderness. And it said he came out of the wilderness empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says in the word that he began teaching in their synagogue. But then he went to his hometown of Nazareth. And when he got there, he went into the synagogue and he read from Isaiah 61. Do you remember? He stood up and he read and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me," and listen at these things, "to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the broken, to proclaim liberty to the captive and release to those who are bound, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." Those who believe in me will do the same things that I do. And Jesus just said this was his assignment. So if that's Jesus' assignment, that now becomes our assignment. Number one, proclaiming the gospel. Jesus told his followers, and you know this, so I'm just reminding you, that after they were filled with, after they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, not might be, not could be, not you'll hope to be, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem." That's where you live and work. "And in all Judea and Samaria, in your state and nation, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." In other words, you and I are to be sharing the good news, the gospel message, with everyone in every place. Everyone in every place. Who will listen? It says, "And Jesus was going about all the cities and all the villages, teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom." In all the villages, all the cities, he was teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So let's look at two examples today. Matthew 9. Everywhere he went, he proclaimed the gospel, the good news, to everyone who would listen. Matthew 9:9. 9:9. And Jesus went on from there. In other words, he traveled to the next city, the next village, and he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax booth. Now, just a reminder what this is. Matthew was a Jew who was collecting taxes for the enemy. Israel had been conquered by Rome. Rome now had them in suppression, and Rome was extracting taxes from them. And Matthew agreed that he would collect those taxes from his friends and family and neighbors and turn them over to Rome. Not a popular guy. Would we, remember what we said? Our assignment was to share the good news with everyone in every place who would listen. Would we have chosen to stop and talk to Matthew? Or would we have written him off? He's just a Democrat. Or other names we could have called him. Traitor. And Jesus said to him, follow me. What? Come on. That wasn't just, do you want to hear the good news? It was like, get up, leave what you're doing, stop doing it, and follow me. That's quite a challenge. I don't know if I've ever said that to anybody. And he got up and followed him. Come on, that's even more amazing. He left his job. He closed the booth. And where'd they go? They went to his house. Then it happened as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house. Now maybe you don't realize what that meant back then. First of all, it was, you were serving somebody by inviting them to your house for lunch because, you know, you had to pay for the food and have somebody prepare the food and serve the food. But if you accepted an invitation to go to someone's house in most third world countries and back then, you were saying, I enjoy being with you. So Jesus was announcing to everybody, I'm going to this tax collector's house because I'm looking forward to spending time with him. Would we have chosen to spend time with Matthew? It happened as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees, the religious leaders, saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with tax collectors and sinners? What's wrong with him? Why is he associating with those kind of people? He should know better. And when Jesus heard it, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. That is quite a statement. That could be a whole sermon in itself. Because a lot of times we would rather do the sacrifice. It's easier following a list or a commandment than it is to choose to be compassionate to somebody we really don't like, or that we really don't think deserves our time, or we think will reject us. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Wow. I don't know how this message is hitting you, but I know how it's been hitting me. All right, next one. A similar story, but another person in another town that Jesus decided to stop and share the gospel with. Luke 19. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Oh, see, now you all remember the little song. Zacchaeus was a wee man. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was a tax collector over tax collectors. Oh, a very popular and well-liked man in the community. And he was rich because he took money from them and got paid by Rome to do it. And often tax collectors raised your taxes and kept the difference. If he was supposed to collect $10, he'll collect $15, turn in $10, and keep the $5. They were just well loved in the community. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. Okay, he had just heard about Jesus and wanted to see him. It doesn't say he wanted to serve him. It didn't say that he wanted to turn his whole life around. It just said he wanted to see him. See, there's people who have never seen Jesus. All they have is maybe heard the name, but we're the one that has to show them what it means to be a Christian and what Jesus is like and who Jesus is. For he was small in stature. I can relate. Every time we go somewhere, you know, I have Adam, Than, and John, and I'm behind them. Yeah. So, he ran ahead and climbed up into a, and we always used to sing sycamore tree. My translation says a fig or a mulberry tree, so I don't know. It was a tree. In order to see him because he was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, now think about this, Jesus is walking through a village with his disciples, and we would think, well, Jesus has important things to do and important places to go, but he paused in his journey. And see, that's the part that gets me. I never have time to pause in my journey. If I have a list of 12 things to get done that day and I'm between 8 and 9, I don't want to stop. I want to get to 9 because if I get to 9, then I can do 10, 11, and 12. But it says, Jesus stopped, looked up, and said to him, "Listen, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." What? He didn't even wait for an invitation. He invited himself. Hopefully Zacchaeus had some food, huh? And he hurried and came down and received him what? Say what? Gladly or with rejoicing. And when they saw it, the same religious leaders, when they saw it, they began to grumble. He's gone to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped on the way to the house and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor." That was some encounter with Jesus. See, we can expect people to have encounters with Jesus when we share good news with them. Amen? Marlon should have been here today. This would have fired up Mr. Marlon. "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything..." Now listen, he didn't just say, "I'll give it back." Okay, if I took $10 too much from you, I'll give you back $10. "I will give back 4 times as much." You talk about a change of heart, a change of mind, repentance. And Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Come on. So, Jesus shared the good news, the gospel message, with everyone in every place who would listen. Some didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. He said to the crowd, "Don't do what the scribes and Pharisees do. For they say what you should do, and then they don't do it themselves." He said to the scribes and Pharisees, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you shut the door to the kingdom in people's faces. You don't go in, and you won't let others go in. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, you hypocrites? For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but full of bones and impurity, things rotting away on the inside. Outwardly, you look like you are righteous, but inwardly, your hearts are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus goes on to say that prophet after prophet had been sent by God to you, and you would not listen, you would not change. See, some won't listen to us when we share the good news with them. But don't be discouraged. Just share the treasures of the kingdom with those who are seeking. There's many out there who are seeking. They don't even know they're seeking. But there's others who are praying, God, if you're real, show me you're real. You're the person to do that. You're the one that God wants to use to let somebody know that He loves them. Number two, He healed the sick and delivered those in bondage. Matthew 4:23 says, And Jesus was teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing, you listening, Mike Deal? And hearing a few of their diseases and some of their sicknesses. It doesn't say that? Come on, tell me what it says. All what? All sicknesses and some diseases? All sicknesses and all diseases. My translation says every kind of. So, whatever kind of disease you have, He healed. Whatever kind of sickness you had, He healed. Okay, now I don't want to scare anybody, but this scares me a little. If you believe in me, you will do the same thing that I did. So that means He expects us to be able to pray and heal every kind of sickness, every kind of disease. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. But this is your part to participate. So instead of me looking up a whole bunch of references and writing them down, I want you, if you can think of it, name somebody or some disease that Jesus healed in the Bible. Leprosy. Blindness. You two worked stereo there. What else? Crippled, lame. Okay. Yep. What else? Okay, He did. Healed the dead. Yep, raised the dead. Mm-hmm. Say what? Issue of blood. Not able to speak. Mute. Yep. Lame to walk. Okay, deaf. Yep, deaf to hear. Peter's mother-in-law in bed with a fever. We don't know what she had. She had some kind of virus or bacteria. He brought a little girl back to life. He brought a widow's son back to life. He brought Lazarus back to life. Yep. You guys are good. John 10:1. This is when Jesus sent the group out. They were His followers, His disciples. Remember He said, we should do the same thing. This is what He said to them. Jesus gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. Listen. And to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And He said, as you go, proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near you. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's the assignment He gave to His followers. Guess who else has that same assignment? Not just the pastor. freely you have received, freely give. What have they freely received? They received the power and authority to heal and deliver and to proclaim the good news. And then he said, go and give that out. Go and heal and deliver and set free and proclaim the good news. What did Jesus say before he went back to heaven? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of mankind. All of mankind. So number one, as Jesus did, we are to share the good news, the gospel message, with everyone who will listen. Number two, as Jesus did, we are to heal the sick and deliver and set free those who are in bondage. Number three, we are to show mercy and compassion just like Jesus did. So how did Jesus show mercy and compassion? Well, we're going to look at just two of the stories. Two people who Jesus showed mercy and compassion on. And I want you to just think with me. You don't have to answer, but I can tell you my answer. What I have shared showed mercy and compassion on them. I'm not positive. I really doubt that I would have. Now maybe if God had spoke to me first or prepared me, but would we have shown mercy on and compassion on the two examples that we're going to look at? Just like Jesus did. Okay, first one is in John chapter 4. And I know these are stories you've heard before, but I want to emphasize what Jesus did. So this is the story of Jesus going into Samaria and the woman coming out to the well in the middle of the day. Women didn't come out to the well in the middle of the day in the heat. She did that because she didn't want to run into anybody because she knew what they all thought of her. She knew what her reputation was. So she comes out. And, you know, there's other things we pointed out in this story before. She was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. Those two nationalities didn't like each other. They didn't communicate with each other. They didn't trade with each other. The Samaritans worshiped God there in Samaria. They didn't come into Jerusalem in the temple. They thought that they, were serving God the way they were supposed to. And men didn't often talk to women unless they were their wives or their servants. And here Jesus goes and he says, would you give me a drink? Remember the conversation? And Jesus ends up saying, well, what I could give you is living water. And so we're going to jump in the story on verse 15. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, this living water that you're talking about, so that I will not thirst again, nor do I have to come out here to draw it. And he said to her, well, go call your husband and come. And the woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you have correctly answered, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. Okay, so are you picturing this? For whatever reason, we don't know, but for whatever reason, she's already been married and divorced all those times, and now she was living with a guy. So would we consider that somebody that would be anxious to hear the gospel message? Well, you know what? It might be what gospel message we share and how we share it. Because if your idea of sharing the gospel message is, if you're living in sin, you're going to hell, I don't know how anxious that person would be to hear that message. She probably already knew she was not living a correct lifestyle. One of the reasons she was out there in the middle of the day. So So Jesus says, go and call your husband and come back. Jesus knew the situation, still chose to share the good news, still revealed to her who he was. And the interesting thing is, he's done that to very few people up to this point. And he chose to let her know who he actually was. Verse 25. And the woman said to him, well, I know that the Messiah, who is called the Christ, is supposed to come. And when he comes, he will declare all things to us. And he said to her, I am he. He basically said, I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. And at this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek or why do you speak to her? So the woman left her water pot, went into the city and said to the men. That was really brave. With her reputation and trying to tell the men something. Because back then you didn't do that. Come and see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Could this be the Messiah, the Christ? And they went out of the city and were coming to him. Isn't that fascinating? Jesus showed compassion and mercy on this woman, revealed who he actually was, the one coming to give living water, coming to give life. He was the Messiah, and she became the first missionary. She went back to the city and said, hey, come to Jesus. And they came. We are to show mercy and compassion as Jesus did. Okay, John 8. Another person Jesus showed mercy and compassion. So Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came into the temple. And all the people were coming to him. He sat down and began to teach them. Okay, get a picture. Jesus is in the temple. He's sitting there with a bunch of people around him. And he's in the middle of teaching. The scribes and the Pharisees. Remember what we read Jesus had to say about that group? They brought a woman caught in adultery. And they set her in the center of the temple court. And they said to him, Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Do I need to say much more? So she was obviously involved in a sexual relationship with somebody other than her husband. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? Were they right? Yeah, they were right that that's what the law said. That legally, according to religious law, they had a right to stone her. They said this testing him so that they might have grounds for accusing him. They wanted to catch him in something they could arrest him for. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. I've heard different theologians say, I would love to know what he wrote on the ground. But when they persisted, okay, Jesus, you gonna answer us? What do you have to say, Jesus? Should we disobey the law? He straightened up and said, He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at him. That reminds me of the principle of the splinter in the eye that becomes a beam. It's so easy for us to see other people's splinters and not our own beam. It's easy for us to condemn others, judge others, point out to them and even to other people what might be wrong in somebody else's life. But Jesus here is calling us to examine ourselves first. If you are without sin, then that means that you're not guilty of anything that you could be accused of, then go ahead and stone us. Mercy and compassion on the broken and the seeking. See, would we have seen either of these women as broken or seeking? Maybe not. But if we're watching what Jesus is doing and hearing what Jesus is saying, see, Jesus knew what was in those women's hearts. He knew what they needed. He knew why they were living the lifestyle they were living. And instead of focusing on the sin and judging them, he showed them mercy and compassion and obviously completely changed their whole lives around. Jesus didn't say, okay, we'll get up and just keep living that lifestyle, did he? No, he said, he stooped down again and wrote on the ground again. When they heard that, they began to go out one by one. Beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone with the woman where she was, in the center of the temple court. Straightening up, Jesus said to the woman, "Where are they? Where are your accusers? Does anyone condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And he said, remember, we're to do what Jesus did. We are to show mercy and compassion on the broken and the seeking, just as Jesus did. I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more. Yay. He called her to dramatically change her life around because of her encounter with Jesus. And that's what repentance actually is. You change your mind about your lifestyle and you head another direction. Right there in that encounter, where she received mercy and compassion instead of judgment, completely changed her life around. Remember the story that Jesus tells about building a house either on sand or on a rock? He said, if you hear these words of mine, now listen, this is where we're at, if you hear these words of mine and do them, you will be like a man who builds his house upon the rock. If you hear these words of mine, so some of us maybe are even fairly good at hearing, but he said, if you hear these words of mine and don't do them, you've built your house on the sand. And when storms come, it'll be destroyed. So how important is doing? You hear these words of mine and do them. So, number one, Jesus shared the good news, the gospel message, with everyone in every place who would listen. Number two, he healed the sick and set free those who were bound by the enemy. And number three, he showed mercy and compassion on those who were broken and seeking. And he said, those who believe in me, all of us, you can and should do the same things that I'm doing and even greater things. Amen? Let's stand. Well, Father, when I hear a challenge like that, I am so grateful that you said that when I am empowered by the Holy Spirit, then I can be your witnesses. Now, I still have to be obedient. And I still have to do my part, but Thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes and helps and empowers and urges and exalts and encourages me to do the same things that Jesus did. Jesus, you told your followers that you had given them the power over the enemy to cast out demons and set people free, and you've given them the authority to heal every sickness and every disease. Help me, help us to realize that you've given us the same thing, and that you said, freely you gave that to us, and we are to freely share that with those who are sick, those who are in need. And then, Jesus, we're so quick to judge others, so quick to want to condemn, to want to point out what somebody is doing that they shouldn't be doing. And yet you showed mercy and compassion on the tax collectors, on the sinners, on those living in a life of adultery. And you called them to yourself and to a changed lifestyle. During worship this morning, when we sang the song about giving us an assignment, I felt in my spirit that you said, if you ask me, I'll give you an assignment. So today we ask for assignments of people. People who need to hear the good news. We want that divine appointment to share the good news with them. Those who need prayer for healing or deliverance, use me, use us. Allow me to freely give what I have been freely given. And then finally, Jesus, I want to see what you're doing and I want to hear what you're doing so that I can show mercy and compassion on those who are broken, on those who are seeking. And I may not even be able to tell by the way they're living that they are broken and are seeking, but you know. And I want divine appointments to share with them. Jesus loves you. Jesus has a good plan for your life. Jesus wants you to turn your life around and head in the other direction. Jesus is calling you to Himself. So Father, we ask for assignments today, reminding us that we are empowered to do the same thing that you do. And the family of God said, Amen. Have a great day. You're dismissed.